Please, let's continue what we have been speaking about for the last two meetings on in our school of prayer, the book of Acts chapter 13. Now, they said in verse 1, now there were at Antioch in the church that was there prophets and teachers, and they gave their names, Barnabas, Simeon, and Lucius, and then Saul at the end of the list. And the Bible says in verse 2, and while they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then, that's verse 3 now. When they had fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. And the Bible says they began to move around as led by the Holy Spirit. Now, I've been speaking about this for some time, this fasting of the Christian, and I have explained two important principles. Number one, that is a lifestyle we read from the book of Isaiah chapter 58, which the Bible calls the fasted lifestyle. That is, it is not about hunger. I've been emphasizing that. We have to be careful that we do not think that it's our own effort that brings us before the presence of God. I said to us in those days, that's the last two meetings about this matter, that hunger does not in any way at all improve the potency of your prayer. That for believers, what fasting is, okay, we said there are two sides. There's a lifestyle, which we read from Isaiah chapter 58, in which one lives, let me just summarize it like this. One lives a life of faithfulness. One lives a life of righteousness. One does everything that is right in the presence of God. And that's one was described in that book of Isaiah chapter 58. And then we also said that there is an important matter, that's which is the reason why we picked from that Acts chapter 13, that I said fasting for the believer is not about hunger. It is about what? Concentration. It is about setting oneself apart to be able to communicate with heaven. I said to us last time that what you pay attention to, the direction you look is where you hear things from. That is, when Daniel was interpreting the dream for Nebuchadnezzar, actually he was telling Nebuchadnezzar the dream that he had. He said to Nebuchadnezzar, in your dream, in your sleep, your mind turns towards the things that will occur in the future. And then God gave you this revelation. Then he saw that statue and all of that. Let's just read that. You know, I quoted it last time. Let's just open to the book of Daniel. Let's just read that just for completeness sake. That's Daniel chapter 2. Remember the story? The man dreamt and nobody could interpret the dream. And then Daniel gathered his friends and they prayed. And God revealed to Daniel the dream. And as if from verse 28, it says, however, there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries and he has made known to to King Nebuchadnezzar what will take place in the latter days. And I said, this was your dream and the visions in your mind while on your bed. As for you, O king, while on your bed, your thoughts turned to what will take place in the future. And he who reveals mysteries has made known to you what will take place. Please notice that. Your thoughts turned to what will take place in the future. And he who reveals mysteries has made known to you what will take place. That is the direction you turn your mind to that you begin to get information concerning things from that direction. I also mentioned this. I think we should also just look at it just for completeness sake. This one is Daniel chapter 2, verse 29 that we just read now, right? All right. Let's just read the one about Moses and the bush that was burning. You notice something. In Exodus chapter 3, you know the story of Moses and the burning bush? Moses was pastoring the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And then one of those days, the Bible says in verse 2, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the midst of a bush. Now, bear this in mind, the angel of God didn't just show up and say, I'm the angel of God. What he did was first to catch the attention of Moses by doing something in the bush that was burning and the bush was itself not consumed. He said, and he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire. That's verse 2. Yet the bush was not consumed. So Moses said, I must turn aside now and see this marvelous sight, why the bush is not burned up. Verse 4, when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look. Now notice that. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to look. Please, let me read one more time. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. And the Lord began to speak with him. What I want to emphasize from these two portions of the scriptures that I read is that you see that God tries to catch people's attention. All right? It's when you look in a direction that God begins to speak from that direction. You see that Moses was there. God wanted to talk to him. I suppose he was very busy. He was very distracted. Many of the things he was doing, all right, they were really occupying him. And many of us are often occupied like that. I said it last time. You get up in the morning, you know, yesterday, Daniel said to me, I came home late because I had something to do in the office. And then after that, I went to give some tutorials to some students in the evening. Then I went to see somebody. So when I go back home, it was 9 o'clock in the evening. Ah, he said, oh, guy, you are very strong. I told him, this is not strength, it is foolishness. I said, this is not strength, it is foolishness. I said, thank you very much. Don't even tell me I'm strong. I know you may not feel strong enough and bold enough to come and tell me what is wrong with you. I know. But don't deceive me and call this strength. You know, there was a time that Moses was sitting down and judging the whole of Israel from morning till night. And other people were going around talking about it. That Moses man is a workaholic. That guy is strong. I like Christians like that. They don't take things lightly. He sits down and takes control. He has woken up first thing in the morning until night is there, making sure everything is in order. That man doesn't waste time with his business. By 5 o'clock, he has woken up. By 6:30, he's already in the office. Many Christians are lazy. That man is always in the office. You get there by 9 o'clock, he's still there. That's why his church is growing. He does not sleep. He studies at night, and he prays and prays and prays. And everybody wants to queue up and start emulating a man that's going to die very soon. Are you getting my point? And they're not speaking about bad things as if they are the signs of strength. They are not the signs of strength. A bad thing is a bad thing. How do I know it's a bad thing? The Bible says it is vain to rise up early, to go to bed late. Those two things, the Bible says, they are vain. Even if you claim you are doing the work of God, he says it is vain. Vanity is what you are pursuing. What you will find is that you have been chasing after the wind. So one day I said, oh, guy, you are strong. I said, please, don't just come to my house and come and deceive me. This is not strength. This is foolishness. And I must put an end to it over the next few days. My hope was just that this will be a temporary period, all right? And I believe God that it's already come to an end. We're doing exams and all of that. That ended yesterday, all right? And I owed some students some tutorials. They had another exam to do, so I went to just put them in shape. And as I was climbing up here today, all right, I said to myself, tomorrow, I'm not going to wake up on time. I said, I don't care. I am not going to wake up on time. When I hit that bed this evening, I'm just going to cross my leg. I even watch a movie self. You know, come out, just make sure that I'm not rushing anywhere. So sometimes we are so busy. A lot of us are prospering in this being busy. Are you getting my point? And we are deceived to think that that's what is the right thing to do. And I believe that what Moses was experiencing also is that he was very busy making sure everything was in order. God had tried to speak to him. I told you, God doesn't like to do magic. A lot of us think that God likes to show. Just watch it. Boom, bush, boom, you know, go consume. You know, that kind of thing. And all of us say, wow, what was that? Oh, what was that? The weather, kind of peculiar, don't you think? I don't know. God only uses such things when he has tried to call your attention in different normal ways. And you're not agree here. Now you go blow roof, blow everything, bomb bush, replace the bush. Just look now. Finally, I believe that was the only thing that could get Moses' attention. Then the Bible says he turned aside to look. Remember what I said last time? Let me say it again. I talked about the logos of the word of God, which is written, it is documented, we can pick a book and read it. That is summary of the thoughts of God. But each particular situation in life, that logos comes in and transmutates into something that is alive for that moment and for that moment alone. And we call that the rhema. It is a word that, using Yonggi Cho's definition, is a specific word to a specific person at a specific time for a specific situation. All right, it doesn't work the following day. It comes to you to solve your problem at a particular point in time. It comes to you to give you direction at a particular point in time. And listen to this, if without that word, you will not have direction. It's important you understand that. Without that word, you will be confused. There are things about your life that's not written in the Bible. All right? I've read from my Bible to Genesis, from Genesis to Revelation. I've not seen the word Lagos. Some things have come close to it, like Logos. But Lagos, you know, they're there. I have seen, gone here and there. Enugu does not appear there. People have said all kinds of things. Once I heard one man came to preach once. I said, if you take the word Jerusalem, the first three letters is J-E-R. The last three one is L-E-M. What is the one in the middle? U-S-A. You see, Jerusalem. I'm telling you. It was revelation. We can conjure anything that we want out of the scriptures. The fact is that at least by human, even the revelation of the Holy Spirit now, direct writing, Enugu, Los Angeles, USA, it's not there. You can use different ways, but God has something to say about United States. He has something to say about your being Enugu or living here and going down to Onitsha or living Onitsha and going down to Australia. He has something to say about those things. And that thing, the only way you will hear it, there are different ways by which God communicates. I'm not talking about that now. But the only way you will hear the one that God is saying to you is if you turn aside to look. That's what I'm talking about. So Christian fasting, it is a season in which we turn aside to look. It is a way by which we turn aside, we turn our thoughts in a particular direction. It is not the way by which we persuade God that that which you don't want to do, you will do it today. After I lose 5 kg, you say you will show mercy. You know that kind of thing. After I lose all this weight, you will show mercy. After I go hungry, I can't talk again, you will show mercy. You know, I told you the joke once. My mother was discussing, telling my wife and I about the way his friend's church, how they do their fasting. Once a year, they will go on this long fast. They will be so hungry and weak and dehydrated at the point in time that they can't even pray. That when you see her friend, you have to say, Jesus, 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 Jesus. So she turned and said, did you kill somebody? That was what my mother said. By the way, she said, you kill people. That is not the one person. You know. You must have killed a lot of them. That this amount of penance you are doing for your sins, that is the only explanation we can have that will be satisfactory. All right? That you must have killed people for you to be doing this kind of thing. And I say to you, that is not Christianity. You know, many of the things I say, they are not popular. But I say it again, that is not Christianity. If you get so weak, you understand, because you are you think that that will make God hear you, that will buy you favor, mercy with God, you are just deceiving yourself. I say to you, and I say it again, all right? I've said it before, and I'm not missing words about it. If you get to a point in your so-called fasting, you're so tired, you can't lift your hands, you can hardly pray, because you know you are weak from hunger, oh boy, you are more in the will of God. Are you getting my point? To stretch and say, Holy Spirit, I beg, may I just buy this bread? We'll continue this conversation in a moment. Because anything you start hearing after that is called hallucination. You start getting confused. I'm telling the truth. If you're hungry, your brain starts misfiring. You will see angels. All kinds of angels will show up before you. But they are not real angels. They are the angels of hunger. You say, but Jesus fasted for 40 days. The Bible says, afterward, he became hungry. For the period of 40 days, he did not know hunger. Go and read your scriptures. Elijah, he fasted for 40 days. Go and read it. He did not fast for 40 days. He was fed food that lasted 40 days in effect. The Bible says he went in the strength of that single meal, well, two meals, to Mount Horeb, the mountain of God. 40 days. That is, it wasn't that he's the man. He, I know this, look, listen. This fellow, at a point in time when the Holy Spirit came upon him, outran chariots. You understand? You and somebody go in the fence in a car, and it's about to start raining, and you carry your trouser, pull them up, come out your shoe, hold them, begin pence. Now you overtake the guy. You know that's not normal. You understand my point? And it's the same thing that came upon him. He had to go very far. He was weak. They fed him food to replenish him for the strength he had lost. So he went to sleep. Then the angel woke him up again and said, eat, for the journey is long. And the Bible says that he went in the strength of that food for 40 days. He was not hungry. The only other person that was fasting for 40 days, his name was Moses. And again, he was not hungry. The man went into the presence of God and was caught up in the clouds. Until you achieve any of this, please, I beg you, Don't fool yourself that you are spiritual going for a 40-day fast. Don't fool yourself. There's nobody Christian, no true prophet of God, no true Christian ever in the scripture sat down and deliberately went on a hunger strike so as to move God. That's Hinduism. When the anointing of God comes upon you, if it suspends you out of eating for a year, it's the will of God. But the deliberate perforation of your stomach so as to impress us with spirituality, forget it, oh boy, take a meal. You will do better with God. I'm saying it, I'm not joking about it. So you're punishing your flesh for nothing. What moves God is faith. What did I say? What moves God is what? Faith. Why do we fast? Like I'm telling you, it is not hunger we are trying to attain. We are trying to focus. And experience has taught you certain things are greater distractions than others. Are you getting my point? And when you are talking about this so-called fast, watch those things. There are people that can never fast while they are in their biz. You get my point? You just have to leave. Go somewhere where nobody knows you. I discussed that last time. I'm trying to connect with what I want to say today. Please, let's follow this point very clearly. What we are trying to do as believers is to turn aside to look. We are trying to get revelation from above. We are not trying to persuade God to do that which he did not plan to do. We are trying to get direction. He said, as a minister to God and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, I said last time, that what was important was that they gathered about the presence of God. They were not distracted. It wasn't the time they were taking phone calls. Are you getting my point? It's amazing people come to church, they leave their phone on, and say, somebody was going to call me. Inside church. You know the law in Kingdom World Ministries. Any phone deliberately left on while I am preaching, it will never ring again. I don't care whether it's Samsung Galaxy S4 or iPhone 5S. Those are the ones that are just coming out now. I don't care whether it's dual SIM, tri SIM, quadruple SIM. Whatever it is, if you leave a phone on deliberately while I'm preaching, that phone will never ring again. I don't know what message are you trying to get. They will call me. Yeah, we are listening to the word of God for an hour and a half. That is when the phone call that will save your life will come. Go and take it outside. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make? It's so crucial to understand this. For believers, it's fasting. You know, people get up and say, what is happening? I'm fasting. So what do you get up fast? You're a marketing agent. You go visit like 16 clients that day. Save your life. Chop something. And tell God, when I come back, we'll go see. You are getting what I'm not explaining. What am I saying here? As believers, what we want is what? To hear something. Now, we're not now. You have to understand that. I'm not saying tune your voice and start hearing evil spirits. So it's just concentration. And I said this last time. God catches our attention different ways. In Moses' case, you see that what the Lord did was to set the bush on fire. Many things in your life will appear to be on fire at certain times. The idea is turn aside and look. Many people are so intent on fighting this devil. Anything, if you hear Bosa, they don't begin, devil, I rebuke you. God is the one tapping. You say, come now, one talk. You don't rebuke the devil, rebuke him. In Jesus' name, you can't get me. Holy Ghost, fire. God says, okay. Go on now. And that, you know, if it's a lot of Nigerian Christians today, bush on fire. They have come from the village. Hey, see, oh, the bush is burning. They will not get me. Holy Ghost, fire. Holy Ghost, fire. Fire of the Holy Spirit. I come after a while. Holy Spirit says, oh, enough. The fire go quench. You say, they now come to church and testify. As that fire began to burn, me too, I brought out my own fire. I fired it. What happened? The fire now stopped. I knew my God is greater. God said, okay, oh, if that is the way you see it. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. Instead of them to look and find out what is going on. Many times in life, that's what God wants to do. Just tapping you. The last five businesses you did, five couple will not come out. The curse is our family that said I will not prosper. Tonight, it's going to go away. I said, all right. Then you go pray. Go, oh, baby, give him small money before this boy spoils everything. They go and testify. When I came with fire, against that curse. It went down. Papa God said, no problem, we'll find another way one day. Just trying to get a boy's attention. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? Listen, God will set many things around you on fire. No be fight. Now, please, just pay attention. Just pay attention. Just look in that direction. You go to your office, you walk. They promote everybody, then they forget you. Then you now go and sow a seed for promotion. Oh, God. He said, look, these Nigerian Christians have come again. God said, just pay attention. Just go home, settle down, and say, Lord, I need to pray. Tell everybody I'm traveling for a few days. Why? Listen, I have worked the best possible. I have put in my best effort. I have prophesied. I have done everything. When it comes to promotion, nobody talks about me. What is going on? Let me say to you again, it's not the devil. Did you hear what I said? What did I say? People are not in a coven firing at you. Hey, I pray Christians will just forget those things. If I say, are you saying there are no witches and there are no covens? Maybe there are there. Maybe there are covens. But one thing you are sure of is this. If they are firing at me, it's not working against me. I know that one for sure. How do I know? Balaam was hired by Balak to fire against Israel. And he explained to them directly that this firing does not work. Therefore, it is wrong on Israel's part to settle down and say, the reason why our bush is burning, the reason why our bush is burning is because the enemy said we will not make progress. And tonight we are going to say no longer. Tonight is an end. We are going to rebuke all of them. Bring your koboko. We are going to flog the devil. Anyway, people need exercise. You have to get it one way or the other. All right? Either you go jogging around Okwara Square or you flog the devil. One way or the other, you will exercise. Most Christians, that is what they do. All right? Let me say to you again, your problems in life as a believer, they are not witches. You do not have a problem with the devil in himself. Let me say this to you quickly. If I feel so strong to say this, the only weapon Satan is firing against you right now is temptation. Let me say it again. The only weapon Satan is firing against you right now is what? Temptation. That is all. That you have come here, self, ignorance is not even firing against you. Because you are acquiring knowledge. The only thing is firing against most believers today is temptation. He can't take your health. He ain't got the power. He can't take your money. He doesn't have the power. He can't take your mind. He can't get you into confusion. He does not have the power. The only thing he has is the power of temptation. And what is temptation? Offer, please follow me. That's what temptation is. You must get that point. So the problems in your life, they are not caused by the devil. Not because the devil doesn't like to cause it. He can't. You get what I'm saying? He can't. I told the Jesus, I finished preaching once. Somebody came and met me and said, please pray for me. I said, what is it? He said, I dreamt. Listen to this. I saw my mother in the dream. She gave me an egg to eat. I said, what did you do? He said, I swallowed it. Since then, something has been in my throat. It didn't go down. I looked at the young woman. So I said, please go away from here. I said, I'm a doctor. What is in your throat is called globus hystericus. I said, when you are worried, things start clumping all over all parts of your body. It is the truth. When you are afraid, you know, people say they are pursuing me in my dream. Go and check it. It's owing somebody. Once you are owing people, as a man, they start pursuing your dream. It's your debtors. It's nothing more than debtors. It's not a witch. You're getting my point? The devil can cause you problems. All he can do is tempt. That is all. That's all he can do to you as a believer. He said, when I sleep, I'm flying. Be careful how you interpret things. If I sleep and I'm flying, I have to go to American embassy the following week. It means I have to travel abroad. Yes. If I sleep and I'm flying, I have to ask, Olayinka, did anybody call us from abroad? Maybe they want us to come and preach and God has spoken that we should go. That don't say you are not going because they are white. You know, some of us don't like to preach in white countries. So God has to speak. You know the way God appeared to Peter? Because he doesn't say Peter no go Greek go where Gentiles are gathered. The Lord had to appear to him with all kinds of animals in a big sheet. If not today's Christian, they came as goats,
They came as pig. They came as hawk. All of them. All my enemies, they gathered. Hey! Oh, Lua, oh, that is. That's the interpretation we give it. Peter, a rice killer, and eat. That's how they chop this kind of thing. Then the discussion ends. Cornelius and Co showed up. Let me say it to you again. Satan can't do you anything. Eh? You know the story I tell all the time about the bat. Remember my bat story? Bat entered the classroom. Small boys don't understand witch. They don't understand wizard. Now they chop the witch. May God give you the strength to eat a witch. Amen? Uh-huh. They whack the witch up. If not Christian, we don't go to some churches. Holy Ghost fire. Devil, it's some assault. Clear out of here. Die. Die. The boy said, no, don't die. We will kill you. Just go. How should you die when we have the strength to kill somebody? They collected the bat, killed it, roasted it in fire, chewed it, masticated it properly. Are you getting my point? And then they deglutated it and swallowed. And nothing to them. You have the power to eat witches if they will show up. They said they put sacrifice there. Whack them first, then find out later who put it. Eat the sacrifice first, then decide later whether it is your Banje spirit or Mami water spirit or Bunge spirit, whatever they are. Just eat it first. I don't, you know, there are things I've said again and again, but today I feel like saying them again. I told you, a friend of mine, when we were in university, one young woman came to visit one of their classmates, brought all kinds of things, and they said, forget me not, they inside, they're not green work. And you know, some of the hungriest group of people on this earth are students. You don't bring food near a student, it's like bringing a vegetable near a goat. Why no go chop? They put food there, they say, forget me not. This is my bro. I ain't reach there. Now I see offering. So I said, what's up with this offering? 1,000 pound offerings, you know? Then they tell the whole story about the girl who came, who wants to marry the boy, and then this and that. He said, is that all? They said, yes. He said, no problem. Let me add my own words to it. I go marry him, don't worry. They said, don't worry. Now the guy sit down. He began to sacrifice all the things that they had down there. And after a while, the boys look at each other and say, man, this guy is not dying. Nothing's happening to him. Let's all marry her. Now me go marry her. Man. Let's all gather. Let's all marry. The guy came to our room to come and tell us his story. His friend that he was telling said, yeah, oh boy. I can't even for coming first now. That's what his friend told me because they were classmates. I was their junior. We were in the same room. All of us, the same fellowship. I'm on campus. He told the boy, Meg, why you do like this? You for call me first now. That is, leave them in their ignorance and fear of witches and wizards. Let's do the will of God. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. What have I said? Nothing. I said, listen to me. The devil can't worry you. That here, never. If they give you something, chop for inside your dream. Chop, palm, sleep. Wake up in the morning. Look for water. Wash them down. You think I'm joking? Go and read the story of Meotari in the gentle breeze of Jesus. They went for crusade. Miraculous supply. Everywhere there was drought, famine. Their host said, there's nothing to give you. You can't stay. He said, God said, we should come and preach. No food. Immediately they started preaching. Preach for like 7 days. He said, when we finish preaching, we'll pray for rain, and rain will fall. But before we finish preaching, this drought has to continue. So how do you guys eat? Don't worry. They will finish preaching. At night, they will sit down. Suddenly, a trance will come upon all of them. And they will begin to dream that they were eating. Then when the dream vanishes, they are full. God did that for them for a whole week. I'm telling you, sometimes God wants to meet your need. You are rebuking him. You know, God not like wahala. Holy Spirit will tap you like this. Ah, Holy Ghost fire against you. Holy Spirit say against me too. What is that? Well, you can't even recognize him. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. What's the point I'm making? Listen, The devil is not your problem. If something's always going on around you, watch it. Maybe God is setting something on fire and it needs your attention. That's what I'm talking about. You invest in this business, invest in the next one. I mean, go and read the story. You know, this one of the books I recommend all the time is
Demon Shakarian's. And then, okay, Chooks wrote a summary of it inside our current journal, all right? Just pick it, it's there. Go and get the book, read it. The man was investing, he was stockpiling grain. He went into the milling business. Things were going bad every day. Everything was going wrong. Everything was going wrong. Finally, he settled down, said, God, what's going on? And the Lord said to him simply, I did not call you into that kind of business in the first place. Because by that time, they were hemorrhaging badly. They were bleeding seriously. He was losing, for that time, I think $50,000 or $10,000 on a daily basis. If that didn't come to an end, he was going to be wiped out, wipe himself out, wipe his father out. What do we do? God said, sell everything. He went back to the mission that he was doing. At the end of the day, God arranged somebody to go and buy it. That man was sleeping. The Lord woke him up one day and said, go and call Demon Shakarian. Tell him you want to buy his business. The man called him. Let me make it long. Go and read the story in the book. So a lot of times we just open the door for the devil recklessly. You rebuke, rebuke, rebuke. He doesn't go. Settle down and check. Where did this devil enter from? The Bible said, give no room to the devil. If you don't give him room, he can't stay. We focus on a man we have given room. God said, look, close the door. He goes away. He can't stay there. Unless that door remains open. And you will not know the door to the devil that you left open. Are you getting my point? Except you turn aside to look. The fast of the Christian is to turn aside to look. Something is on fire around you. Business is not going well. Are you getting my point? There are so many things. And people are always looking for solutions to the problems. They don't turn aside to look and say, what is fundamentally the problem? There's no scripture in the Bible that says a Christian should not do business. None. There's no Christian that says a Christian should not be in ministry. That specific say, hey, you, John Bull, do not do ministry. There's nothing like that. Yet we can't all be businessmen. You know that. We cannot all be preachers. Some must preach while others must do business. You know, like I say jokingly all the time, but it's a matter of fact. As I've seen, you know, people say, I said, look, I cannot be supervising where they are doing construction. If I'm there supervising construction, who will be there supervising preaching? In fact, my faith is reaching a level now, eh? It's going up. I'm beginning to think that, listen, you know, and we'll get to that one later. The Lord is good. And the Lord is good. Listen, this is what I'm making is that how do I know? I told you, it was it last week or a few weeks ago, I said it. There was a day I sat down and watched a man on TV, and I told my wife, this man is not called to ministry. I didn't know him from anywhere. I just saw him on TV. I said, this one, what is he doing here? He will never find out he's not called to ministry, except he turns aside to look. And I make bold to say, God is very kind. He will have burnt bush around that guy. The guy will pour water on the bush. He will speak to him at night. He will call his name. The guy will take Valium to be sleeping, so he can't hear that voice. Many times God comes around warning people. No, you know, there was something that this man said, C.S. Lewis, inside our magazine. He talked about different ways by which God speaks to people. And Eli will now say it like this, that God speaks to men different with diverse manner. In his dream, he talks to him, but they don't pay attention. That he even comes and speaks with pain in his bones, but they don't pay attention. Eventually, he leaves them to destruction. I believe God has spoken to that fellow. Sometimes I don't want to interfere in other people's businesses, all right? That is their lives. But sometimes when somebody is close to me and I begin to have a nudging that what this fellow is doing is not right. These days, for certain reasons, I say, I think, let me offend my friend. You know, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Because some of the ways that by which God speaks to people,